Let's give it up for worship. Amen. Thank you, guys. Good word this morning. Thank you. Well, good morning, church. You may be seated. Good morning. Good to see so many beautiful faces. Good to see you all. Happy holiday weekend. We are wrapping up our sermon series, Soul Care. And if you're just joining us as a guest, we're glad you're here. This sermon will stand alone and encourage you. You can listen to our podcast and check all of them out. But where we're going in this sermon series to bring you up to speed is that God desires your soul and my soul to flourish. He desires our soul to do well. And so what is this soul? It can be this weird concept, but it's the inside you. How is the inside you doing? And so today what we're talking about is blessings and how the soul flourishes when the soul blesses and the soul receives blessings. So we're going to unpack that and how do we have our souls flourish. But before we do that, the blessing. What is a blessing? Sometimes we say it when somebody sneezes, we say, God bless you. And I remember my dad for some reason growing up, he would always say, like German, I don't even know if it's right, but he'd say, Gesundheit. Does anyone else do that? I remember going into high school for the first time and somebody sneezed and I said, Gesundheit. And they like, what? I'm like, I don't know. You just say that, right? So sometimes we say, God bless you. We don't even know what we're saying and we just say it. And then, I mean, or sometimes we'll use it as like an insult. And we're like, oh, like, bless his soul, you know. He tried. But, you know, bless his soul. So we can use a blessing as kind of like, oh, that's cute, you know, good for him, bless his soul. Or, you know, Big Sean rappers like, I'm blessed, you know, hashtag blessed. Like, it's on Instagram, Twitter, there's just this feeling like, oh, I got the new car, hashtag blessed, you know. And so it's confusing. What is blessing? But you and I actually have an ability to bless, and we have opportunities to bless kind of day in and day out, and really our souls have opportunities to bless. And let me unpack this with, I think a story was helpful for me this week. As I was driving, I've shared from up front that I love the Fullerton Loop. You know, being only in Fullerton for about a year and a half now, and I love the community. I love just the trails that we have. And so I love going up to the trails. And you'll see a lot of people just kind of fly by like, oh, like I see a person coming. Let me try and get through so I don't have to slow down in my super busy schedule. And I've just kind of practiced slowing down and saying, you know what? I can wait 15 seconds and allow somebody to go. And what's contagious, what keeps me doing it is just the smile it puts on people's faces. And just the, like, oh, you would stop? Most people drive by, and it's kind of fun, just everyone, people in Fullerton are so friendly, they're just waving back, you know, so I love it, so it's like, hey, go, and they're like, hey, and it's just like, it's a uplifting for my soul. This week, though, I'm doing it, and I'm starting to slow down, and this person just kind of steps out, and then mugs me, like, you better stop for me, and then just kind of doesn't even wave, you know, just kind of walks on, like, mugs me, and then keeps going, and I was like, ooh. It was a curse. You know, we have the opportunity to bless, thank you, or you better stop for me, curse. And I was going to curse back at them, but they go to this church, and so, no, I'm just kidding, I'm kidding. No, just kidding. That happened, but they don't go to this church, and I didn't curse at them, so. But every opportunity, we have times to be able to bless somebody or to curse them. And so God gives us blessings. Do you know God rains down blessings? When he created the heavens and earth, he stops, and Genesis tells us that he creates the whole earth, and then he looks at it, and he sees that the day is good. And so he blesses the day. And then he goes on after all of creation, and he says it's very good. And so there's a blessing. When God speaks, things are created, and so he blesses the earth. And so we find that God is a God that gives blessing. And so what our souls do, if you're taking notes, that the first point is that our souls search for blessings. Our souls search for blessings. We look for blessings. We long for it. And in fact, we've in the, not last week, but the week before, we talked about kind of the patriarchs of faith. You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so Abraham, the father of Isaac, Isaac, the father of Jacob. And what you see in this lineage is that we learned about the fascinating story of Jacob. And Jacob wasn't the first. The firstborn son always gets the blessing birthright. So the firstborn son gets an extra blessing. What this means is that when the father passes away in these times, that the son, the firstborn son, would get a double portion of the estate. And so there was a blessing that was given. So Isaac, in his old age, he blesses his firstborn son. Now, his firstborn son was not Jacob. His firstborn son was Esau. And so Esau should have received the blessing, yet we came to find out that Jacob got it. Well, let's look at this story, how he got this. We're going to go to Genesis 25. It's the very first book in the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews. You can grab one of those. That's our gift to you. Take it home. Check out some of the stuff that we talked about today. So Genesis 25, verse 29. We'll put it up on the screen for you as well. And it says this. So this is the interaction between Jacob and his brother Esau. So once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He was starving. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. Going on to verse 31. Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is my birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. As our souls look, our souls in many sense are, they're famished. You know, it's so interesting. There's this word in the Bible for soul, and it's often connected and often attached to two different symbols or meanings or metaphors. And you find two of them. It's thirsting and hungry. Kind of something to be quenched. And this hunger to be satisfied. And in fact, sometimes the soul is described as a stomach looking to be fed. And so Esau is lacking something. And so he's even willing to give up a future blessing, this greater blessing, to receive something here. Man, I was looking at this. It's so true. In our sense, we're hungry for something, aren't we? We can have, sometimes, do you know, the University of Chicago did a study that when polling jobs, they looked at what are the jobs that offer the most happiness and the jobs that are just kind of the worst jobs and least satisfactory. And so they found the 10 jobs that provided the most happiness and the 10 jobs the least. Do you know, on average, the jobs that were that kind of made people the least happy made far more money than the jobs that made people the most happy. So there's something our souls look for. I mean, we think about this. We know this truth, that they've done studies. The happiest, our nation is probably the wealthiest, one of the wealthiest nations, if not the wealthiest. And then we live in California, an incredibly wealthy state. Yet, for some reason, we aren't the happiest. There's something our soul tells us, oh, I need more, I need to acquire more. And this isn't to here to guilt and shame us. It's really how we're raised in our culture and our whole economic system is it just thrives on capitalism and consumerism. But what happens in consumerism, it pulls up this need. I need more. I need the next iPhone. I'm a sucker for that. There's something that tells me I need this. My life will be better when I can unlock my phone with my face. It's not. My face doesn't care about that. But something in our soul says, well, when I get that, I'll be happy. And then we get it, and we know it doesn't satisfy our souls. But our souls are searching. The prophet Isaiah says this. We can throw it up on the screen. Isaiah 55. Somewhat of a prophetic psalm. He says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and why and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. You will delight in the richest affair. We've talked about this in previous weeks, that God, that delighting in God is like the richest affair. So there's this invitation that you won't be able to satisfy your souls here completely on this earth. But let me make this point. We're going to go to, let me pull this out in Genesis 27 right here. Look back at Genesis, let's go to the next point. Genesis 27, verse 4. I'll throw it up on the screen right here. Genesis 27, verse 4 says this in the ESV. And prepare, so backing up a little bit. So you have Abraham, the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Abraham, his son Isaac, Isaac's son Jacob. And so Isaac is about to pass away, and he's now going to give that blessing that Jacob and Esau were kind of fighting over, and that Jacob tricked Esau. So the time is to give this blessing. And notice what he does here. He says, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Notice where the blessing comes from. He's about to give him, when he dies, his whole estate. The estate isn't the blessing. Where does the blessing come from? The blessing comes from the soul. Our souls, and that's the second point, blessing comes from the soul. Our souls have the power and the ability to bless or to curse. We might think about this because blessing might be this vague concept for us, but we're actually far more familiar with this term blessing than we think. A good way to understand it is we can feel when somebody curses us, can't we? It can just be the pause between a relationship and somebody says, like, how do you look? Good. We're attuned to this, right? Just the little pause instead of, well, good, you look wonderful. Or, why did you hesitate? We have the ability to curse or to bless. I shared this one story. One of my youth leaders growing up had shared her journey and struggle and how she was never just loved as a kid by her parents, and she was never loved well by her friends. She had struggled, and kids would make fun of her for her weight, for her hair, for her face. And she remembers showing up. She was telling us a story, showing up just being so afraid to show up to high school. She was terrified. And she was just so worried because she didn't know a lot of people. She just didn't have many friends, and she just felt so alone. And so what she was noticing, that she had the opportunity, as she was there, she was sitting, she was kind of in the locker. Sorry, not the opportunity, but she was by her locker putting her books and bags away, and then she noticed somebody coming down the hallway. And it was actually a family friend. And it was kind of the coach. He was a younger teacher, and he was kind of the cool guy. And so he was like high-fiving students in the hallway, and her eyes began to light up. And she's like, man, if this coach recognizes me, kids will accept me, and I'll feel welcome. And so the coach is getting closer and closer, and she's just excited to kind of have like that interaction. And as the coach passes, he just says, hey, so-and-so, and actually ends up making just kind of this joke about her weight. And just like many of you, her soul goes, oh. Here's a teenager looking, struggling for approval, and this coach has an opportunity to bless or to curse. And there's an opportunity that was missed. Now, you and I, we have an opportunity each and every day, and this is the third point, that your soul is created to bless others. Your soul and my soul, in fact, is created to bless others. And in fact, as Jesus says, it's better to give than to receive. Because our souls are looking for something, aren't they? We're all hungry for something. We want something. And so we fill it with items and cars and stuff. And some of these things are good things, but they won't satisfy our soul. And in fact, Jesus has this line. He says, if you're looking to save your life, you're going to lose it. And in fact, if you lose your life, you will gain it. If you're looking to feed your soul, you're going to lose it. But if you learn to bless other souls, you'll find it. And so your soul and my soul is actually created to bless others. That's where we get energy and life. And so you and I have divine opportunities each and every day to bless instead of curse. Let's rewrite that story. Imagine the coach, if you will, comes down the hall and sees this young girl who's just struggling, a freshman, scared, just afraid of everything. What if he looks at her eye and just says, welcome to this campus, I'm glad you're here. And just, oh, you're such a good family friend, gives her a hug. Imagine how that girl is treated by her friends, by her peers. You and I have opportunities to give blessings into others. Because do you know what the scriptures say? God says in the Old Testament, everyone always talks about the New Testament and all the blessings and doing social justice, but it's all throughout this whole book. God gives this command, he says to the Jews, he says, look out for the foreigners, for the strangers among you, and remember, he says, remember in your hearts, in your soul, if you will, that you were once a foreigner and an outsider. So remember what that feels like, and I want you to show grace and compassion. I want you just to bless them because I've blessed you. I've taken care of you in the wandering. And so you and I have these divine opportunities. It can be a smile. It can be just welcoming somebody. Welcoming them in, loving them, blessing them, providing food for them. Soul food, you know, taking care of somebody, just welcoming them, blessing them. You and I have lots of opportunities each and every day to love somebody, to bless them, remembering that we were once foreigners. He says, remember in your heart. Remember what that feels like. Remember how you have an opportunity to transform somebody. So if our souls are created to bless others, we realize this, and we're so sensitive to this, even like tailgate. So just as I was mentioning the Fullerton Loop, I noticed this the other day. I was coming out of Home Depot, and I'm walking out, and same thing, cars going by, and you notice when somebody doesn't want to let you go, right? And I saw like these cars flying by. I'm like, man, if I step out, it's supposed to be right of the way of the pedestrian, so I'm now kind of in the person's shoes, right? Stop for me. But I see like this person just tailgating the other person, just like trying to fly through, and didn't want to let me in. Didn't want me. I'm like halfway through the street, and this person was just like, didn't look at me, you know, like, I can't look at you, I don't have time, and I just gotta go. And our souls are sensitive to that. Maybe I'm just oversensitive to that because the event earlier that week, right? But there's opportunities. That person said, I don't want to receive you. You know, right now, our children are being taught, look for the outsider. Look for somebody that's excluded and love them this week. Well, what if we began to do that in your life? Look for somebody at work. Look for somebody in life, in society, that's excluded. And a blessing is something maybe as simple as welcoming them in. Providing a way for them to come in. Look back at this in Isaiah 55. Says this, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. As it keeps going, it says, give ear to me, come listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David, see, I have made him a witness to the peoples. a ruler and commander of all the peoples. Here's what we have to understand, that God's blessing is for us. So if you're taking notes, the last one is that a full soul is blessed. Sorry, that a full soul blesses, if we can put that up. A full soul blesses. Let me hold your spot in Isaiah. We're going to come back to it. Genesis 12. Remember, we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Genesis 12 says this, verse 2. Or I'll back it up in verse 1. The Lord has said to Abram, who his name later changes to Abraham. That's another story. Go from your country to your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and bless you. I will make your name great. So let me pause right there. Sometimes if you've grown up in church, sometimes we're afraid of greatness. We want to be humble, but God says, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to do great things through you. God can do good things through you. God can bless you. Now, this isn't a gospel and saying, well, God just prosperity and that's all he wants. He wants more for you than just prosperity. But God does bless, and it says this. It says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He says to Abraham, you will be a blessing to others. You will find that I am all that, I will satisfy you, and I'm going to bless you, and you will be a blessing to other people. Now here's what we have, what Ephesians 1 says, it describes in the Bible, Jesus, that we have all spiritual blessings that you and I need are found in Jesus. Because here's what the gospel says, friends. The gospel means good news. The good news about the Bible is that you and I deserve for God, for all of the wrong things we have done, we deserve the dirty look. How could you? Why did you do that? Yet what God does is he embraces us and welcomes us as the foreigner, as the stranger, and says, this is my child whom I love. Isaiah 55 says this everlasting covenant. A covenant is a commitment to love no matter what. It's like a vow in marriage. And when we say that, the covenant is through sickness, through health, through better or for worse. And so God says, I am committed to you forever. So friends, here's what we have in this day and age. Because there's a lot of circumstances with the shootings in Florida. There's a lot of tragedy. We get a phone call, disaster, cancer. Things come into our lives. Or maybe it's just the negative voices that stack up and say, you're a loser, you're nobody, you're this, you're never going to amount to that. And they present themselves as a tragic reality in our life. And they begin to stack up and pile up. And so we can look at it. Last week we talked about, why are you downcast, my soul? Because we look at everything and we see our life is just getting filled with so many terrible things. But Jesus comes and he speaks a different truth, a different reality. And he says, you are loved no matter what. You might not be able to find satisfaction here, but I will give you full satisfaction. So he grabs our eyes and our circumstances that focus on the terrible situations around us. And he says, I want you to see. And in fact, in Ephesians, he says, I take you and you get seated at Jesus's right hand. You get seated up in the heavenlies with Jesus. So there's this promise, no matter what you're going through now, you're going to be with God if you put your hope and faith and trust in him in the future. So what I want to speak into our lives, sometimes we hear so much of the reality, this is the terrible situation, this is the terrible, but what your soul and my soul needs is truth. I want to speak truth into your life. The truth is that God loves you despite the circumstances. The truth is when you're going through terrible circumstances, God will bless your soul. And in fact, when you're going through difficult times, I encourage you, when you feel like you maybe missed the promotion, you missed an opportunity, and your just soul isn't satisfied, I encourage you this week to lean into Jesus. Because he offers this covenant love, this love for you and for me, no matter what. So when you feel dissatisfied, when your soul is longing for something more, is the Bible says, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, all who are thirsty. He says, when you're weary, I'll give rest for your souls. I'll give you satisfied water that will quench your thirst. And so what you and I have is an ultimate spiritual blessing in Jesus. And so he says, come to me. I will bless you. I will keep you. I will take care of you through thick and through thin. And so you and I need to hear that truth spoken into our lives. When the world looks like it's a mess and our souls are saying, why, what is going on? How our souls are fed are in God. And so when you're struggling with these things, lean into that. Lean in because your soul finds complete satisfaction in Jesus. In this future form, he promises to seat you and me with him. The promise is this future blessing, eternal life, and as we've talked about, heaven where there will be no tears, where all pain will be wiped away. And that's difficult in this world when we're still, our souls are longing for something more. But during that time, would you lean into Jesus? Your soul is hungry. Because notice this. Back to the Psalm, or Genesis 27. Let me end with this point. Genesis 27, verse 4. Right before he blesses, he says this. Prepare for me the delicious food as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat and that my soul may bless you before I die. Notice that his soul needs to be full before he blesses. John Ortberg had quoted a study that, in fact, they had studied judges that were giving life sentences, and they found they tended to be more gracious to the people that had the sentence. They found the judges were more gracious, not by the case, not by the study, but how recently they had eaten. That their soul was full. When you're full, you're more gracious. So, friends, you and I, now imagine that. Imagine what just physical food can do. What if you and I began to feed yourselves, feed your family during the week? What if you got into God's words? The circumstances of this life are crazy, but you read like Romans 8, neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons can separate you from the love of God. There's soul food that's truth there and then spoken into your lives that will just fill up your soul. So no matter what comes your way, you bless instead of curse. You can forgive and show grace instead of trying to hold on to it. Friends, my hope is that you will see that your soul would be full in Jesus, that you would practice filling up your soul this week, and that you would bless others as you go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promise that we have in Isaiah. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Father, that's us this morning. We don't have anything to offer, and that's grace. Our souls in many ways are empty. We don't have things to offer you. Yet the promise you give to us, listen to you and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Father, may we rest in you this week. May we feed ourselves on your truth, on your promise, of your covenant of love that withstands all love. Father, as we look to you this week, may our souls be full, so full that we might bless others in every little opportunity. Father, may we see that we're blessed to be a blessing. Jesus, we love you and we thank you that you welcomed us as a foreigner and as a stranger. God, we praise you. We love you. Help us to love others. We ask that in your name. Amen.